Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how's it going today, my man?
It's going very well. It's kind of the conclusion of minicamp for me and the Steelers and all that. I broadcasted 3 days a week for the last, four or five weeks. And now I won't see all those guys for another five or six. And we go to Latrobe, and I think I'll be up there more than usual, more than the last couple of years. So it is now officially the down period.
I was going to say, you get a little bit of a break now. Your summer begins. We've kind of heard reports a little bit the past couple of days about my guy Juju Smith-Schuster and a knee injury. Anything to worry about there?
Yeah, I can't say I'm super dialed in on it. I know he didn't practice. A lot of the top guys didn't practice today, like the whole offensive line just kind of watched. Nobody seemed overly concerned about the knee, but it's something he did tweak, running around at OTAs.
Yeah, and Le'Veon never showed up, right?
Le'Veon never showed up. Washington looked really good, though. I think that was noteworthy for fantasy reasons.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah, he's kind of being, I think, overlooked in that second round of rookie drafts. You guys are chasing Pettis and Miller and Mike Gesicki, and I think James Washington is going to end up being a value in that early mid-second round.
I 100% agree, and I'd much rather have him than all those guys you mentioned. And I just did a rookie draft, and I was torn between Washington and Miller, and I did go with Miller in that one. But all the other guys you mentioned, I'd much rather have Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Matt, we've got a great guest today. We've got back-to-back Adams. We had the RB Scout last week. This week, we've got Adam Wilde from Dynasty Happy Hour, also the host of the Dynasty Owner's Manual. Adam, how's it going?
Hey, it's going awesome. I'm really happy to be here. I can't wait. This is an awesome topic, and probably the most fun for me is startup strategy, because that's where we win the money, right?
That's right. That's right. That's really really where we get a chance to obviously build that team and to lay the groundwork and the foundation for what might be years of playing in a dynasty league. It is startup season, really the entire offseason, startup season, right? I know some get going as early as January or February. Some wait until the post-draft period as we're in now. I'm actually doing a startup auction right now. This is my first and probably my only startup of the offseason. So I'm going to enjoy this startup draft talk with you guys today.
Sounds good.
Adam, in a startup draft, what would you say is your typical strategy? I feel like we talk about this a lot, but for me, when it comes down to it, there's really two, right? There's two paths. You're choosing win now. You're not afraid of veterans. You might mix in some youth, but your plan is to win right away, or you're just going youth heavy. We can call it punting. We can call it productive struggle, as I've written about, whatever you want to call it. Those are really the two paths, and so there's some room in the middle, but which one of those paths are you taking when you do a startup dynasty draft?
Yeah, I kind of find myself in the middle. So what I like to do, I kind of like to be a mover and a shaker, in a sense, if we draft early enough in the offseason. So I'm kind of going best player available for the good portion of the first half. And the idea about that is that you have the time before the season to move those players and maybe tier down or even tier up some of the players. So really what I'm looking for is the value, if that means super flex. I took, four QBs in the first five, six rounds, or took a lot of wide receivers and a one QB early. I'm not starting a lineup right now, so I'm fine with taking the best player available until my team starts shaking out. And then I'm just going to make some money moves after that.
Yeah, I love that. I get questions every once in a while of someone saying, I'm worried about my wide receiver three, or I'm worried about my backup tight end. Should I make a trade? And yeah, exactly like you said, we're not setting lineups. And not only are we not setting lineups now, we've got months to figure that out, and training camp and all of these things that we have to look forward to are going to change all of those, all of that. So definitely have some time to make moves. And I've been checking out your new podcast. I think you guys are about, 8 or 9 episodes in now, I believe.
We're actually recording 11 tonight.
Oh, okay. I might be behind. I'm going to have to catch up soon. So the Dynasty Owner's Manual, and it seems like your all's mission in that is to really just offer that framework for new Dynasty owners. Is that kind of the plan?
Yeah. So long story short, the kind of deal was, it was March and we were really grinding out the rookie content. And eventually you just kind of get tired of it. So I posed the question, is there any information out there that's just going to make me a better owner right now? I don't want to talk about rookie evaluations or even who I should be trading for. I just want to learn how to be a better dynasty owner. And the consensus answer was no. So kudos for Jacob from Dynasty One, our editor, for calling me out and saying, well, why don't you do it? So the answer was, yeah, why don't I do it? And I had just met Chris a few weeks prior in person, and he actually got on and said, hey, I would love to help with this. So we just did it. You know, we're trying to fill a hole. We don't do the player analysis too much. We just want to give as many resources as possible to make our listeners the best owners they can possibly be.
Yeah, I love that. And I've definitely enjoyed the episodes I've caught so far. I've got this road trip coming up this weekend, so I'll be able to catch up on all of those, including tonight's show. I think you're recording with my buddy Kevin, right?
Absolutely, yes. The FF engineer. I can't wait. We're going to be talking some 401k strategy.
Nice, nice. Oh, we've had him on here discussing some of those same topics. So I look forward to the 2018 version of that and see how he's kind of changed his strategies and his thinking. But let's get on to today's show. What we're going to do, and Adam, you mentioned this earlier, we are going to talk about our strategy, how it might look when we're actually building a dynasty team through a startup draft. We're going to look, take a round by round look. We're going to use the latest DLF Dynasty ADP, which is from June, focus on one round at a time, kind of go round robin here and just share one player we would be targeting and one player we would be avoiding through the lens of our dynasty strategy. Matt, before we do that, we better remind our listeners kind of what our plan is. So in a dynasty startup draft, Matt, I think you and I are pretty similar. Tell us about your normal plan.
As Adam mentioned, very active. You know, if I'm not loving where I'm at, I'm getting out of there. And if I see a guy falling, I'm attacking to go get him. I absolutely try to get a future draft pick or two in my travels, you know, pick up an extra third, an extra second. Always good capital to have in your back pocket. I certainly lean towards youth, but there's also a spot when you have your core guys and Larry Fitzgerald's there in the 12th round or whatever, that it's not such a bad move. And I think Adam said it well is also that I don't care about my starting lineup. I don't care about my backup tight end. I'm getting the best players, the best value, regardless of position. And talking about this and looking at this that you sent us, I've sort of got the itch. I haven't done a startup, I don't think, in about 3 years. So if you hear one, keep me in mind.
Yeah, yeah, you need to get in one. Yeah. So I would agree with you. We've had lots of these conversations on this show in the past. Acquiring future picks, moving up and down the board, best player available, all those are certainly things that I look at as well. I'm still building pretty heavy around youth and not afraid to lose in the first year. So I'm not necessarily 100% still punting or on the productive struggle train, I guess, but definitely not afraid of that if the draft opens up that way. And I'm still building pretty heavily around wide receivers. I know that's changed in recent years, and that's not a strategy change. That is a talent change. The reason we were building around wide receivers 2 and 3 and 4 years ago is because the running backs overall from top to bottom were pretty terrible. And that's certainly not the case this year. If you looked at the startup ADP from 2015, let's say, it would be just filled with wide receivers. And now we see essentially a half-half split at the top 2 or 3 rounds between backs and receivers. So the talent infusion at the running back position has really changed things. It changed strategies and things like that. But I'm still focusing pretty heavily around that wide receiver position. All right. So again, we're going to talk about each round, round by round, the top 12, starting with the top 12, I should say. I'll run through those. We're going to talk about one player we would avoid of those top 12 and one player we would target. So you can think about that as in terms of buying and selling a player if you're already in an established dynasty league, or if you're like Matt and you're not participating in a startup draft in the near future, you can think about it as a buy-sell, overvalued, undervalued, that kind of fits as well. But again, we're looking at this through the lens of a startup draft. So of these 12 players, which one would we target? Which one would we avoid? Here's the first round. We've got Odell Beckham at the top, Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. I think that's maybe a big surprise for some. We've got the rookie fifth overall, David Johnson, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Mike Evans, and Keenan Allen. So that's our first round. Adam, of those 12, which player are you avoiding? Are you just not likely to take with any first round pick?
Ryan, you might kick me off the show early here, but my avoid is going to be Saquon Barkley. He's awesome. He is awesome. I completely understand that. But you're passing up on DJ right there, who I traded Saquon Barkley for straight up and was very confident in. Here's the thing with DJ. He broke his off wrist, right? So that's probably got to be the best possible injury you can have to end a season for a running back, almost to the point where in my eyes, he is a year younger at that point. But not just DJ. I mean, you also have Zeke right there ahead of him that a lot of people are taking him over. It's just, to me, I don't see why you're not going to take the proven talent, because here's the thing. He's priced at his ceiling right now. So I can't make money moves with Saquon Barkley if I'm taking him already at five. You know what I mean? So if you're taking Saquon Barkley at five, you're basically saying he is 100% going to be Todd Gurley, and I just can't say that, so I'm not going to take him there.
Yeah, that's fair. I shared the top five players from that June ADP on Twitter recently, and certainly got a lot of reaction with Barkley listed among the top five and DJ and Antonio Brown not in that group. So, yeah, saying that he's priced to the ceiling, that makes a lot of sense. There's very little room for Barkley to grow in value with this evaluation. There's a lot of room for him to fall. Matt, who would be your avoid?
Yeah, I wouldn't begrudge anyone for not using the fifth overall pick on Barkley, who you've never seen in a NFL uniform yet. I mean, he wouldn't be my pick. The ones that, there's actually a couple that stand out. I just want to name them quick. Hopkins at three, Bell at eight are both too early for me and won't end up on my team. Keenan Allen, I'm not saying isn't the 12th best player in Dynasty, but if your top pick, your number one asset on your team is Keenan Allen after a Dynasty draft, I'm not doing cartwheels over that. And the ones that really stand out to me that I'm jumping on at that price are definitely David Johnson, who I think is the best running back in football right now in the real world, and Kamara at 10. I'll gladly take Kamara at 10.
All right, you're jumping ahead a little, Matt. No surprise there.
I just kept rolling. I'm sorry.
My player I would avoid, I'm going to agree with one of yours that you listed, Matt. It's Bell. You know, you've shared before on here, Matt, that you don't really see him in a Steelers uniform beyond the 2018 season. Looking at some of the players that are being drafted behind him, not only can I not take him in the middle of the first round, I don't think I can take him in the first round at all. So he would be the player that I would be avoiding in the first round. Matt, you already mentioned DJ and Kamara as your player you might target. So I'm going to go ahead and share mine as well while I have the floor. It's Kamara for me as well. I love drafting out of that late first round range this year, looking at these guys, Thomas, Kamara, Mike Evans, all those guys I'm a big believer in. And although I did mention building around wide receivers, you can't just ignore and avoid running back like you could a couple of years ago. Zero running back was the thing both in redraft and in dynasty. I'm not going to say it can't work, because a lot of these names that we see in the first couple rounds were fourth or fifth or sixth rounders in dynasty startups last year. But I think it's a lot harder. I would certainly say that. So Kamara at the late portion of the first round would be my pick. Matt, you said Kamara and DJ. Adam, who's your first round target?
So my first note underneath Antonio Brown for this segment is this is stealing. To me, this is stealing. So he's 29 years old, and that doesn't sound good in terms of dynasty. So I needed to provide an argument here. At 29, I feel like he's going to play, I want to say 5 more years, but let's just say that's 3 if we're looking at the 3-year window. So what I wanted to do is look at some of the best players ever, because I feel that Antonio Brown will end up being one of the best players ever. And I did a little math that I thought was pretty cool. So Randy Moss had 15,292 yards in his 15-year career. Having played only 53% of Randy Moss's career, Antonio Brown has already amassed 65% of the yards from Randy Moss's total career. So to me, that's not concrete evidence, but what that's telling me is that I don't think Antonio Brown slows down anytime soon. And there's going to be some people that look pretty silly drafting DeAndre Hopkins over Antonio Brown, who I really do love. Just when you find out that over the next 3 years, it's like, whoa, wait, there was supposed to be regression. When was that going to happen? So I'm totally okay taking Antonio Brown at 8. That is very good for me.
Yeah, I saw this the other day that Antonio Brown has 3 wide receiver 1 seasons in his career. So that's 3 seasons finishing as the top overall wide receiver. Every other active wide receiver in the NFL has 2 combined. So that was Hopkins last year. Demaryius Thomas got one a few years ago. That's it. So he has more than every other receiver combined. What we'll do here, guys, is we're going to do as many rounds as we can. Maybe it's 8 or 10, and we'll kind of build a team. So Adam is starting his squad with Antonio Brown. Matt, I'm going to give you DJ, and I'll take Alvin Kamara. So Matt, we're going to have to focus on one player per. That's going to limit you, I think.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Round 2. Here they are. Julio Jones. It's weird to see his name in the second round, but that's where he is. Julio Jones, Kareem Hunt, Devontae Adams, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Amari Cooper, Christian McCaffrey, AJ Green, Tyreek Hill, Melvin Gordon, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. So again, we see a pretty equal split between the running backs and wide receivers. No quarterbacks, no tight ends yet. But still plenty of running backs, and most of them are young. Adam, let's go to you. Which player of those 12 are you avoiding?
Joe Mixon's a big avoid for me right here. So he quietly had 178 carries for 626 yards last year, and that seems pretty okay for a rookie running back. But when you factor in that Hill really only had a very small portion of those carries, it doesn't add up for me. And then you go to some of his games where he had over 12 carries. I mean, you're looking at 18 for 62, 17 for 29, 15 for 51. It's not until he gets 23 carries that he even cracks the 114 yards. I don't see it. I think the opportunity was there last year. And I'm also a large fan of Giovanni Bernard, who I'd love to take a little later in the draft, not taking Mixon that high.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Mixon would actually be my avoid as well. There's a couple players at the end of that second round that I would be iffy about. But, yeah, Mixon, I just didn't see enough. And, again, looking at some of these players that we're going to get to in the third round, I'm just simply not willing to take him that high. Matt, which player are you avoiding in the second round?
Yeah, I like Mixon a little bit more than you guys, and I prefer him over Melvin Gordon, so I picked Gordon. But there wasn't one that really stood out in this group to say, boy, that's egregious.
Yeah, this second round feels pretty strong from top to bottom. We're gonna pick a player in each round that we want to avoid and that we would target, but this second round seems, for the most part, a little bit safer than some we've seen in the past. We've seen guys like Cordero Patterson move up into that second round range, David Wilson from years ago, Devontae Parker more recently. So we've seen players grow to that second round ADP based largely on hype. Most of these guys, maybe outside of Mixon, are a little more established than that. All right, let's talk about the players we would be targeting out of this group. Adam, who is yours?
So I first want to start by saying that I think the round two pick is the most important pick on your team. There's very little chance that you're going to be upset with yourself over your first round pick. Maybe if you're back towards the turn, they get a little more iffy, but there's a good chance that you're going to be really tight with your first round pick. Your second round pick, on the other hand, is what defines your team for me. So what I looked at here is not that I'm looking for AJ Green early in the second, but at his ADP, I love AJ Green for the many of the same reasons as AB is a steal, is the same reasons that AJ Green is a steal. Some of the stuff that I wrote down here is just that Andy Dalton was horrible last year, but specifically in weeks one and two before they switched over to Lazor. And AJ Green had 141 targets on 10 receptions with a 35.7% market share in those first two games where the Bengals were absolutely horrendous. I mean, Andy Dalton threw four picks in that first game. So AJ Green is that offense, and they didn't bring anyone in to help him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing though, right? I mean, we've already got Eifert hurt. They didn't bring in, I'm not sure if they brought in any wide receiver. Alden Tate, certainly none of note. The offensive line is improved, so maybe that is some hope for Mixon and the offense in general. I mean, Green is just going to see all of the targets again. You're right. Matt, which player are you targeting in this second round?
Well, I'm jumping all over Dalvin Cook at 204. I mean, I just moved him ahead of Le'Veon Bell as my sixth dynasty running back. I like him more and more. I really think he's a special player, with my only concern of, is he going to be able to handle 16 games year after year?
Yeah, that would be my concern as well. And that's what's stopped me from moving him higher in my ranks. And this feels this feels about right. Looking at some of the players behind him, I would still take him over Leonard Fournette. I'd take him over McCaffrey. The guy I'm going to target here is a wide receiver. I just can't do back-to-back running backs. I tried, but I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill late in that second round range. I love everything he did. I'm not worried about the addition of Sammy Watkins. We've seen some good reports about him and Mahomes, but I love everything about what we've seen from Tyreek Hill in his first couple seasons in the league. Comfortable with him as my wide receiver one, even though he doesn't fit the mold as the prototypical NFL wide receiver one, he continues to put up fantasy points. So, Adam, you started with AB and AJ Green. Matt, you went running back, DJ and Dalvin Cook. And I have a mix of Alvin Kamara and Tyreek Hill. Let's move on to round three. Still looking pretty strong here. Not much of a drop-off. Allen Robinson, Corey Davis, Devontae Freeman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Darius Geis. So we've got our second rookie off the board. Jerick McKinnon, Jordan Howard, Rob Gronkowski, and T.Y. Hilton, finishing out round three. Matt, let's go to you first this time. Which player are you avoiding?
Jordan Howard at 310. New staff. You know, this crew has shown that they want to throw to running backs. Howard doesn't do that well. You know, I could see them growing more and more disinterested with Howard. And to use a third-round dynasty pick on him, that's too rich for me. I think his stock is going to go down pretty rapidly. I know I'm only allowed to pick one, and I'll pick Howard, but honorable mention to Juju and Freeman too.
Be careful there. All right, Adam, who is your avoid in this round?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to not take up the rest of the show, but my avoid is Jerick McKinnon. You guys know Addison Hayes from FF Statistics. He projected McKinnon to have 250 touches next year. That seems a little rich for me. But the thing with McKinnon is I feel like we're playing that game that little kids play where they're putting the shapes into the slots, and he doesn't – he's the square going into the circle. He conceded carries to Asiata when AD went down. He conceded carries to Latavius Murray, and then he was actually the third running back after Cook fell to the second round. So they weren't exactly in the market for running back, but Cook fell a little far. It's just that he's only had San Fran, and I do love him as a player. And when his price goes down, I will be buying. But I'm excited to see Bryce Love in a 49ers uniform next year, and then we're going to see the full backfield there, because I think McKinnon's only half the answer there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I saw the other day that basically over the past year, according to our ADP at DLF, McKinnon has risen almost 200 spots from essentially undrafted last year to the third round this year. That feels a little rich for me. Corey Davis feels a little rich for me, but in the end, if I have to pick one, I'm going to agree with Matt. Jordan Howard, no way would I consider drafting him in the third round. I actually think it's a conversation about which Chicago running back you'd rather have between he and Tariq Cohen, and we'll see Cohen in a few rounds. Just no way Jordan Howard belongs in the third round, in my opinion. Let's talk about the players we would be targeting in this round. Best case scenario, all 12 of these guys are available to us. Which one fits your dynasty startup strategy the best, Adam?
So here's the deal with my third round pick. I mentioned that the second round pick is the most important. The first one's going to be pretty much a lock. This pick I'm going to take a little chance on, which I usually do, and that's going to be Darius Geis. He was the bona fide RB2 behind one of the best RB1 prospects we've ever seen. And then he drops in the draft, so you assume he's an axe murderer, but it comes out he's just a millennial. So he's going into the Redskins locker room. They had 21 different line combinations last year in what was supposed to be an above average offensive line, and by all counts would have been. They're all healthy. They also added Jerron Christian in the third round from Louisville. And the argument here is that he's going to concede third down carries to Chris Thompson, third down duties to Chris Thompson. I argue what rookie running back is going to be seeing three downs? Maybe Penny, but typically the rookie running backs coming in aren't trusted in that third down work. They need to know protection. There's so much that goes into converting on a third down. I'm not worried about a rookie running back coming in and conceding carries to a very good third down back, especially since we're talking dynasty. So Darius Geis is a huge buy for me there, and I can't believe he's fallen out of the 1-2.
All right, good points. Definitely not a homer pick, right, Adam?
Yeah, not at all. Nope.
All right, Matt, who's your pick here?
Yeah, I was torn between Geis and Hilton and leaned towards Hilton, but I'm glad you did mention Geis. I agree with everything you said. I jumped all over him at 1-2 in my latest draft. I think Hilton's really good. I mean, there's 35 people get drafted ahead of T.Y. Hilton, and Luck should be back. He threw a high school football the other day. Not that that's all that exciting. But even Brissett's a good quarterback. He's the only show in town with the Colts. I think they're going to be losing a lot. I think Hilton's a very good player.
Yeah, I think this ADP is all about Luck and
yeah,
and the fear that maybe he'll never be the same as he was in recent years.
Report is that he did throw the Duke with old coach out there too. So
no, really?
Apparently he has thrown the Duke, just not on camera.
I hope for his sake and for our sake as fans and fantasy players that he is able to get back to full strength, because he's one of the best there is, and I would hate to see that injury ruin that. I really like this third round, especially the top half. I can't believe Allen Robinson's still in the third round. I'm just going to kind of stay on brand here and go with Juju Smith-Schuster, one of my favorite players to watch and cheer for. We know what he did in his rookie season And I guess now the question is, can he continue that? Obviously, he's not overtaking AB anytime soon, but second fiddle in Pittsburgh is usually not a bad thing.
You know what the best deal in town is, though. You talk about values. Our friend at Harry's. Oh, yeah. And again, I tell you this every week, guys. I switched many years ago through a different podcast that they sponsored, and I will never go back. I have very sensitive skin. I shave every day. I never let my beard grow at all. And I have no problems ever since I went to Harry. So I am 100% on board with these guys. And they've been a great sponsor for us pretty much from the start. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision, although it should be, trust me. So they created a trial offer for you. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/dynasty. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors and unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades, made of sharp, durable steel that lasts. You get a lot of shaves out of each blade, by the way. And that's why they bought the factory. They've been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years now. By selling directly to you on the internet, Harry's offers blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. It's just $2 a blade as compared to four or five or more of some companies. Quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry know within 30 days, and they'll give you a full refund. So here's the details of the trial offer. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel that smells tremendous, travel blade cover. So listeners to our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/dynasty. Make sure you go to harrys.com/dynasty to redeem your official offer and let them know that we sent you.
Let's move on to round four here. Here are the 12 players in this round. Jarvis Landry, Doug Baldwin, Rashad Penny, Evan Engram, Zach Ertz, a couple of rookies here, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, Josh Gordon, Aaron Rodgers, Sammy Watkins, Derrick Henry, and Alshon Jeffrey. Adam, which player of those 12 are you staying away from in round four?
I'm going to avoid Derrick Henry here. I think he's only up there. It's kind of residual because of the anticipation of not bringing another running back in. And I think he'll slowly fall down the ADP list. But he's only caught 14 balls in his career. And now they have Deion Lewis there. I don't see him taking on any larger of a role than they had with Murray. He kind of reminds me of the LeGarrette Blount deal. He's going to come in and grind the clock out a little bit. It's just that last week, Adam Spinks referred to the inability of a committee to produce with a rushing quarterback back there. Well, Mariota had a bad hamstring for a lot of the season last year and still rushed for 312 yards and 5 TDs. So if anyone's going to take that hit, it's got to be Derrick Henry. And I think that Lewis is the back to own there in town with Mariota.
Yeah, that makes me feel better. Henry is my choice in the fourth round as well. Really seems out of place in this group of 12 players. And I'm a little worried about Lewis as well. That injury history is pretty nasty. I was even last year in what's called his breakout season, he had some injury woes there as well. So I don't know that he can stay healthy, but even with that in mind, I still don't want Henry at this point of the draft. Matt, who are you staying away from of these 12 players?
Jarvis Landry stuck out to me like a sore thumb as the first pick in the fourth round, almost a third rounder, going to a team now that has a lot more mouths to feed, a new offense. I don't think he's a dynamic talent. He's very target-driven as a fantasy producer, and I think his targets are bound to go down. No thanks. I mean, before Doug Baldwin and some of these other guys, no.
I like Landry a lot, but it's definitely fair to have some of those concerns that he won't see the same type of volume with Josh Gordon, who was also in this round, and so many other mouths to feed there. Adam, let's go back to you. Which player are you targeting in round four?
So I wrote this player down knowing full well that somebody was going to choose. He was not the player for them. I picked Jarvis Landry, and I'm super proud of the Dynasty community for keeping him there. So here's two true statements. Landry's touchdowns were all beautifully manufactured inside the 10-yard line last year. Sure. most of his targets are not manufactured. He is the guy that is always open. He's your check down back, but as a slot receiver. I think that Landry could go to all 32 teams in the NFL, and I'm still going to take him at this ADP because you have those guys there, Josh Gordon, still got Corey Coleman, you bring in Callaway, still got Duke. Landry is still going to get an absurd amount of targets just because he is always open. He's who Tyrod's going to go to. He loved Charles Clay last year. Granted, it was just about the only person to throw to. Now he's got Jarvis Landry, and I think it's going to be the same deal.
All right, Matt, what about you? Fourth round target.
Really was going to go Sony Michel, but I just wanted to mention Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, to me, Landry at 4-1 versus Alshon at 4-12 with Wentz throwing to him, a lot of touchdown upside. I think he's a better player than Landry. I think Alshon's a steal at the end of the fourth round.
Yeah, I'm having a – what? So are you going with Alshon or Sony Michel?
I'm going with Alshon.
Okay. All right. Surprised. I had you pegged for Michelle there.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring Alshon up, though. I talk about Michelle a lot on the show.
This is a tough choice for me. I like the tight end value with Ingram and Ertz, the rookie running backs. We see three of them in this round, and I think Watkins is actually being undervalued. It seems like people are giving up on him. Maybe a little too soon. And Matt, as you mentioned, Jeffrey is pretty safe down there at the end of the round. I'm going to go upside here. I talked about building around youth. I'm going with Evan Ingram, and I feel like I've got my tight end one for the next 8 years or so.
Can't argue that.
All right, let's move on to round five. We've got some more rookies, and that starts right at the top. Ronald Jones, Royce Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Golden Tate, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz. So we've got all three quarterbacks right in there beside each other. That's the quarterback 2, 3, and 4. Demaryius Thomas, Marvin Jones, DJ Moore, Tevin Coleman, and Kenyon Drake. I feel like we're starting to see a drop in talent at the wide receiver and running back position. Maybe it's a little bit easier to choose our player we would avoid. Adam, who are you staying away from in round five?
Yeah, so this one's really hard for me because I love Tevin Coleman as a player, but he's got to be an avoid for me right now. He's sitting at that spot because of his impending free agency, but I don't know why we're just assuming that's a good thing. For one, he's got a good thing going there with the Falcons, and for two, free agency is scary. We're looking at it with Carlos Hyde. He got replaced almost immediately. He might have a good first season. We might be able to get to that later, but the league is a committee mindset right now, and the likelihood of him ever getting a huge share of a backfield is very slim, especially a player like Coleman. So he's here because it's exciting. He's going to get a new team, but if you take him here, it's going to be kind of disappointing when he goes somewhere next year and becomes part of a three-headed backfield, kind of like the Browns may have this year.
I think he's certainly just being propped up thanks to Jerick McKinnon. He's being viewed as the next McKinnon, and we can't say the success of McKinnon, but the expected success and the value increase that we've seen with McKinnon is helping Coleman's value a year in advance. Matt, which player are you staying away from here?
Yeah, real good points on Coleman. However, it wouldn't blow me away if he took more of Freeman's workload this year than he ever has. I think Freeman's slightly declining. Anyway, Shady McCoy at 5'3", that's way too early for me on a terrible offense. He's had a massive workload, is slowing down, is up in age. He's a Pitt guy. I love him, but no.
Yeah, this for me, this group, again, building my team around – youth, this is a pretty ugly round. If we're in an actual startup draft, I'm probably trying to move out of these picks. You've got three quarterbacks, which love all three. I would love to have any of them on my team, but I'm not taking them as my fifth player off the board. And then these veterans, McCoy, Tate, Demaryius, Marvin Jones, again, kind of the same situation. If I've got them on a contending team, I'm happy. But to build my team around those guys, not going to happen. I think McCoy just just as the veteran running back would be my pick as well, Matt.
Yeah.
Who, Matt, let's go back to you on this one. Which player are you targeting in round five?
Our new best friend, Ronald Jones.
I thought that's who it
was. Just go back and listen. If you haven't already, go back and listen to our most recent podcast, Dynasty Blueprint, and you'll know everything you need to know about why you should take Ronald Jones at the beginning of the fifth round. Him and Royce Freeman aren't even close.
No, me either. Me either. We heard some glowing reports and analysis of Ronald Jones last week from the RB scout, Adam Spinks. And then, Matt, what did you immediately go out and do?
I forget the deal. I'd have to pull it up. But
you made a big trade for him.
Yeah, I think it was Alshon. I'll look at the details. I'm pretty sure it was Alshon and Ronald Jones for Evans, and I got some draft pick capital in there as well.
Yeah, I thought you did pretty well.
I was happy about that.
Adam, which player are you targeting in round five?
Yeah, so give me the next old receiver on the list to help me win year one and pay for my fees the next couple years. Give me Demaryius. He's got a huge upgrade at quarterback. I think last year, he just hasn't had a decent quarterback since Peyton Manning, and not even Peyton Manning, like Super Bowl Peyton Manning, because he was terrible then. So huge upgrade in Keenum, in my opinion. He hasn't missed a single game since 2011 and hasn't seen less than 140 targets on the season since 2011. Still has a couple years left in him. And just be weary, guys. These are the kind of players that if you're not going to be competing for the championship kind of mid-year, just make sure you move them, and you're going to get some solid value out of them. So just like I said at the beginning, just make some money moves. You're taking an amazing wide receiver right here. Ride them to the championship, or just know when it's time to get off.
You already talked about not loving this round in general, so it is tough to pick one player that I would target. Jones was in consideration. Matt, I'm not going to copy you. I'm going to go with another rookie and go with DJ Moore, the wide receiver one in this rookie class. It actually feels a little bit early to take him, but I'm going to gamble on him over some of these veterans in round five. All right, let's move on to round six. Next group of 12 players, another rookie at the top, Kerryon Johnson, followed by Will Fuller, Mark Ingram, Devin Funchess, Cooper Kupp, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Alex Collins, Jay Ajayi, Robert Woods, David Njoku, and we'll end with a rookie as well, Cortland Sutton. Adam, who are you avoiding in round six?
Yeah, so I'm avoiding Will Fuller. You're not going to trick me with that 25% TD rate last year. That's just absurd. 2.8 receptions a game in the 10 games that he played. I don't really trust his hands. I see a lot of body catches out of him. It's just, you like that Aaron Rodgers type effect with Deshaun Watson, but I can't rely on that. I love Nook, and I think Nook is going to keep getting an absurd amount of targets. And unless Will Fuller's targets pick up, this is just way too early for him.
That's my pick, too. And for all the right, all the same reasons, he's like a Deshaun Jackson type. He's too boom or bust for me. I thought he really stood out there. He would not be on my team at that price.
Yeah, there's a few guys that I would be avoiding. And obviously the deeper you get in the draft, that feeling is going to become more and more common. It's easy to find guys you like in rounds one, two, and three, and it gets tougher once you get to this point.
Ryan, I have a quick question for you. If this was a startup draft and it's a sixth round and these are the dudes that are sitting there, do you think you could move one of these startup picks for a future first? Is that about
–
okay.
Yeah, you can still – I think you can still sell a sixth rounder, maybe even a seventh rounder for that random future first. So, yeah, I think that's rather reasonable.
I think I'd rather have a future first than just about any of these guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jay Ajayi. Just simply don't trust him. I think they're going to use a committee there in Philadelphia, and I wouldn't be surprised if they even replaced him this time next year. What about your player you'd be targeting here, Adam?
So I'm a Robert Woods truther, so this was kind of a given, but he'll likely be targeted as the wide receiver one again. Now, Cooper Kupp did have more targets last year, but he also played in four more games, and it was only nine more targets. Cooks came and that scared a lot of people, but that kind of excited me because Robert Woods kind of fed off of Sammy. And I think in the same sense, Sammy kind of lacked a little because of Robert Woods. I think Cooks is going to get the same sort of rolled coverages that Sammy was getting. And even though it's the most high-powered offense in the league, I don't know that this is that much of an upgrade, if any, for Cooks. So I'm really excited about Woods next year, and I'm so glad that they brought in somebody high-profile because I was not excited for my Woods shares if he were kind of the only guy in town at that outside position.
All right, good case for Robert Woods. I am a little worried about what that target share is going to look like, but he certainly had a breakout season last year in his first with the Rams. Matt, which player are you targeting?
There's no one I'm doing jumping jacks for, but David Njoku to me was the pick. High upside tight end at a pretty barren position. It's not a clear path to stardom, but I really liked what I saw of him as a player. That's at the end of the sixth round, I think it's a pretty good pickup.
I like Njoku as well. Probably would not go with him since I took Ingram already. We all agreed that we don't necessarily focus on our starting lineup, but also don't know if I want two tight ends in my first six picks either. I'm going to go with Christian Kirk. Three rookie wide receivers in this round with Kirk, Ridley, and Sutton. Kirk is my favorite of those, and I will continue the youth movement with him. Let's move on to round seven. Lots of veterans here. We get some more quarterbacks here, and the running back run actually starts picking up a little bit more. Round seven, Deion Lewis, Devontae Parker, Lamar Miller, Larry Fitzgerald, Hunter Henry, Sterling Shepard, Nelson Aguilar, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Tariq Cohen, Aaron Jones, and Duke Johnson. So we see some PPR-type running backs at the end of that round as well. Which player are you avoiding at all cost in round seven, Adam?
So I don't think Devontae Parker deserves to be anywhere near this conversation. I mean, you're going to have to put Devontae Parker somewhere down behind Kenny Stills before I personally consider him. He's had 3 years of just huge opportunity to break out and just hasn't done so. I mean, he's got the size to really win in the end zone and only has 8 touchdowns in 3 seasons. From what I've seen, he fails to create separation. He's just not working out there. And at some point, that draft capital has to stop mattering, and I think it's pretty close to now.
Yeah, I can certainly see reasons Parker would be an avoid. As I mentioned earlier, he actually creeped into the second and third round range of drafts a couple years ago, and that hype has not paid off yet. Matt, who is your avoid in round seven?
Lamar Miller. I thought he sort of stood out too as a declining player, getting up in age by running back years. Foreman's breathing on his heels, and maybe they even draft a guy high next year.
Yeah, I've got a few candidates here, certainly. I think mine might have been Miller if we knew Deontay Foreman was healthy. But for me, Miller may get another year of what we've seen the past couple of years, just churning those RB2 numbers and not offering much upside, but at least offering a weekly floor. So because of that, I'm going to go away from him. I'm going to go with Deion Lewis. I talked about it earlier, just worried about that injury history. I think we're banking too much on 1 year with him. And he's not young. You know, we think of him as a young running back because last year was really his first year of significant playing time and production. But I think he's already 27 years old. And Matt, you just talked about Lamar Miller getting up there. I'd say they're about the same age. So it's Lewis for me. Let's talk about players we like in this round. And Adam, we'll go back to you. Which player of these 12 do you like? Would you be targeting in round seven?
So I just want to go ahead and mention that this wouldn't exactly be the same roster that I would construct because I do want to express some value that I'm seeing here. So typically, personally, I'll go later on QB, but Cam Newton stands out pretty heavily to me right here. The guy's just a monster in terms of fantasy. You need that floor from your quarterback, and that's what he provides in the rushing game. I don't know that CJ Anderson's going to affect his rushing attack so much. We talked about Mariota earlier taking away from Derrick Henry's role. I think Cam Newton's going to do the same thing with CJ Anderson. Cam Newton's going to be the running back there. And then you have CMC to do the receiving duties. So I'm very happy to take Cam Newton here if I did want to go quarterback early.
I agree 100%. Cam was my choice as well. And again, just like you, I would not necessarily target a running back in general at this point in the, I'm sorry, a quarterback at this point in the draft, but for Cam Newton to fall out of the top five quarterbacks, Garoppolo one spot ahead of him is actually QB5, is just criminal. I don't get why he is so undervalued year in and year out, but I will take the discount and I'll go with Cam also. Matt, are you going to make it 3 for 3?
I think those are great arguments, and it blows me away that him and Jimmy are right next to each other. I don't think they're close. I'm with you guys there. But this is the one I like the most of all my picks. Aaron Jones at 7-11. Great offense. I love this guy. I mean, at 7-11, I think he'll quickly go past those guys ahead of him. Far more talented. I would take him ahead of every running back in this round, every running back in round 6 that we talked about, and several of them in round 5 that we talked about. I think that's stealing that late. Massive upside.
All right. So you like him over Ronald Jones?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. No. He is my 24th. I have him ahead of Ajayi, Ingram, Kerryon Johnson, Collins. Yeah.
In Superflex, I recently traded Blake Bortles for Aaron Jones. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Wow. I like that.
Okay, let's keep moving. Round 8 is up next. This is what the players look like in that group. Lots of youth here, guys. Mike Williams, Marlon Mack, Jamison Crowder, Michael Gallup, Chris Godwin, Jimmy Graham sneaks in there to ruin the party, Michael Crabtree, Anthony Miller, Deontay Foreman, Julian Edelman, Marquise Goodwin, and Trey Burton. Matt, who are you staying away from in round 8?
Goodwin, not Godwin. I just think the Niners will address the wide receiver position with a big dog in either free agency or the draft early next year. I think he's a great story. He's played very well. He's exceeded all my expectations, but I don't think he's still a very well-rounded overall player.
Yep, that was my choice as well. I keep copying off both of you guys. But that makes me feel good. I'm agreeing with a couple smart guys. Goodwin, I just don't get it. I think he belongs 2 or 3 or 4 rounds later, not in this group. And of course, we could talk about Edelman. This data was collected before the suspension news. A guy like him, a veteran. We know what he is when he's healthy or when he's on the field, I should say. I don't think his value is going to actually fall off too much following that suspension, but might be a player to avoid because of that. So we both went with Marquise Goodwin. What about you, Adam?
So I honestly didn't want to avoid anyone in this round. I think this is a round that I'm going to try to trade into in the future. I originally put Julian Edelman because with the suspension and the age, with so many wide receivers on that roster, it is kind of scary. But then I started looking at the depth chart. No one's pushing Julian Edelman out of that spot. He's going to go right back into it when he gets bad. So I quickly had to erase that and went with Dante Foreman. I like him a lot and was a big fan of him last year. But Achilles injury is not your typical ACL injury. And players haven't really learned how to come back from this one yet. I think Lamar Miller fits the Houston offense pretty well. He isn't exactly great, but I do ride the fence with Lamar Miller. I will say that Houston's strategy is probably to give Dante Foreman the chance. And then if he doesn't come back, there's going to be a running back drafted pretty early there and probably a release for Miller. But I'll avoid Dante Foreman for now.
Yeah, I think those are good points. And I agree with most of them. I like Foreman. But I think we're expecting too much considering that injury. I would not be surprised at all if he ends up on the PUP and misses the first few games of the season.
By far the worst offensive line in the league, too.
Yeah. All right, let's finish up finish up this episode, finish up this activity with some players we're targeting in round eight. And we will start with Matt.
I thought about Mike Williams, went with Anthony Miller. I think he's a well-rounded player in a very good schemed offense with a talented, very young quarterback. It's a couple that kind of stood out to me. I liked Godwin too. I liked Williams, as I said, but give me Miller.
Those were a couple of the names I was considering as well. And I did go with Mike Williams at the top of this round. We know what he is as far as a first round talent and that first round pedigree from just a year ago. I'm surprised that his value has fallen off like it has. And as much as we hate to see it, the Hunter Henry injury could be a good thing for his production, could open up quite a few more targets, kind of like Juju. He's not, I don't expect him to overtake Keenan Allen for wide receiver one duties on that roster, but still plenty of room for production. And in the eighth round, it kind of feels like a bargain. Adam, finish up your roster with your eighth round pick.
So I feel like I'm putting my money where my mouth is a little bit when I discussed winning early to try to pay the next few years league fees. And that's what I'm going to do with Jimmy Graham. The Green Bay doesn't use its tight end mantra, doesn't hold any value when we're talking about Jermichael Finley, Richard Rodgers, a bad Martellus Bennett, whomever you want to name. Aaron Rodgers targets receivers he can trust. And he proved that early when Davante Adams, before he was a thing, dropped a good bit of passes and he didn't go to him for a while. Graham is extremely savvy when it comes to getting open. And I would venture to say that about 50% of that Green Bay offense is the scramble drill. And I think that Graham is going to be very successful in finding the open spots during those scramble drills. Very excited for Graham this season and probably the next couple.
All right. So, Adam, that gives you an ending roster in this activity. We got through eight rounds. Cam Newton, Darius Geis, you hammered the wide receiver position. Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, Jarvis Landry, Demaryius Thomas, and Robert Woods, and finished it up with Jimmy Graham. That certainly looks like a roster that could compete. I like that you had the mix of veterans, but also the youth at running back. We see rookie running backs and young running backs compete right away, while normally we maybe have to wait for production at the wide receiver and tight end spots and quarterback, of course. So, Adam, hearing that roster in its full state, at least through these first eight rounds, does that feel like a team that you might actually build in a Dynasty Startup League?
Absolutely. I'm very happy with the roster so far because if you continued this exercise, you would find that there are a lot of running backs that you could target later that are going to help me win right now that some people essentially don't want. I mean, I would get as far as Marshawn Lynch at the end of the draft, you know what I mean, so that you're getting – this year production to ensure that you go win that championship. But I want those wide receivers to last. And I think that I got wide receivers that are going to last the next 3 or 4 years. You don't think that when you think of AB and you think of AJ, even Landry, some people that are rebuilding are afraid to own Landry and then even Demaryius Thomas. But I think we're going to find that those players are going to last another 2 to 3 years and still be around. So I'm comfortable there. And I think that it's good to use, the dynasty mantra of going young to your advantage if you really want to hammer home that first championship win.
Yeah, very, very good points for sure. And it seems like there are a lot of teams, a lot of dynasty owners that are chasing that youth. So if you're content to focus on veterans, you can definitely get some good values in your startup draft. Matt, here's your final roster. You started with David Johnson. You've got Dalvin Cook, Ronald Jones, and Aaron Jones, a couple of your favorites, T.Y. Hilton, Alshon Jeffrey, and Anthony Miller, and you grabbed your tight end, David Njoku. What about you? Happy with that roster?
Yes, very. And I look at it, and I didn't do this on purpose. I just went round by round thinking who was the best value in that round like I would in the real world. And my old guys, in quotes, are Hilton, Alshon, and David Johnson. You know, like, those guys have a lot of years left, and maybe some of my young guys bust, but it looks like a team that's built for the long haul. And one last note, I scanned the round nine area, and wow, it gets barren. I'm trading out of round nine, by the way.
Yeah, round nine is is pretty ugly. It doesn't include Dez Bryant, though. That's his lowest ADP in the history of our DLF ADP, which is 5 years worth of data now. So obviously we know his value is just falling through the floor.
I was only interested in Rudolph there. There's no one really else that I'm interested there, including OJ. So yeah, round nine kind of it's a little tough. Kyle Rudolph, though, I'm interested in.
Well, you clearly overlooked Randall Cobb, right?
Oh yeah, sorry. No, I've got a lot of Randall Cobb too.
I hate to admit this, Ryan, but I would actually like to trade for Randall Cobb right now. I think he's gonna have a good year.
Yeah, that seems to be the growing sentiment that he can maybe bounce back. Definitely disappointing last year, but a lot of that offense was with Rodgers out. So we'll see what happens.
Close to free in auctions as well. Pretty close to free in most of the auctions I'm in.
Yeah, and all the you look at the receiving core, they don't have anyone like him. You know, they kept him for a reason. He's still pretty young. Probably the only positive things I've ever said about him on this podcast in our 3 or 4 years. On purpose, by the way.
I'm going to save those. All right, let's finish up with my roster. I also grabbed Cam Newton. Alvin Kamara was my only running back. Really went heavy at wide receiver, as I predicted I would. Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, and Mike Williams. Lots of youth there as well. And then Evan Ingram at tight end. Like I said, I focused on youth, focused on wide receiver. I doubt I would over a 13-game fantasy season, doubt I would overtake either of your teams in this format. And that's okay. I think I'd be ready for 2019 and beyond. Well, guys, this was a lot of fun. I love going really digging deep into this ADP. It can tell you so much about values, about where there are holes in the draft. Matt, like you were saying, round nine you want out of, round five I didn't like. Studying that ADP can help you prepare for a draft and know where those dead spots are. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us. Tell all our listeners where they can find your work.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Adam. You can also find Dynasty Owner's Manual on iTunes and Stitcher currently. We've been having a lot of fun with our guests. We bring you experts just to kind of hammer home on topics. So if you have any good topics or you have a topic that you would like to teach, definitely get with us on Twitter at our Dynasty Owner's Manual, Twitter at Dynasty Manual. And I appreciate you guys very much for having me on. This has been a blast, guys.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.